Roundabout with Tony Barnfield on Cambridge 105 Radio.
And now I'm at the Fitzwilliam Museum to meet Richard Kelleher, who is, you're an assistant keeper of a particular period of coinage, Richard.
Yes, I am. Yes, I work in the Department of Coins and Medals, and my bracket of knowledge or expertise is the medieval and early modern and modern periods.
And this is the study, I'll mispronounce it surely, numismatics, is that
numismatics,
right?
Numismatics, yes.
Yes. And how did you get into it? I mean, did you sort of, were you intrigued by coins as a youngster?
Unlike many numismatists, no, I wasn't. My story is from an archaeological perspective. I was an archaeologist, a field archaeologist, and many of people who did the job I do look for or fall upon material specialisms that really intrigue them. So I worked at a site at Heathrow for Terminal 5. A number of medieval coins were coming up out of the site from site detectorists. And that's when I started to really think about that group of material as a potential specialism. So it started there, and it's been a long road through very different guises and jobs that I've done. But that's how it began.
And quite a collection here, though some of the things you're exhibiting are from the British Museum, places like that.
Yes, the bulk of the exhibition draws on our own collection. We have almost 250,000 objects in our behind-the-scenes areas. But yes, we have supported our own collection with key loans from the British Museum, from the York Museums Trust, and from Trinity College.
And the exhibition is called Making a Nation, Money, Image and Power in Tudor and Stuart England. So this is sort of Elizabeth I onwards, I suppose.
Well, we go back a little bit. It's the beginning of the Tudor dynasty under Henry VII. And this begins two very important dynastic families that have had a massive impact on what we understand as the United Kingdom, effectively. Because the exhibition takes us from medieval England all the way around to the formation of the United Kingdom in 1707.
And this exhibition actually opens on Tuesday. How long do you work on something like this as a project?
Well, the idea first had to be put to the museum at least 2 years ago, because we're working sort of to that timetable with things like this. Probably in the last 6 months, it's ramped up a little bit. Drawing the objects together is a big job, because as you can see there, and your listeners can now hear, there are over 500 individual objects within the exhibition. So all of those have to be photographed. We need to make sure we have written the labels. The documentation that supports all of our shows has to be done within that time frame.
And it's coins, medals, and lots of what I would call objet d'art, but that's probably the wrong term. I mean, over there, for instance, there's basically something that is weighing and storing coins.
Well, yes, that is a balance and scale set that we have several examples of within the collection. And those were it kind of contextualizes the use of money in the past, because I don't think we often think about coinage in the period, Tudor and Stuart period, they're all pretty much silver or gold. They have an intrinsic value unlike our money today. And it's important that the coins that you're using are of a correct weight, and you haven't had a little bit slivered off and so on. So weight boxes like that were a standard kind of piece of kit for those that would have been involved in, you know, probably repeated transactions at fairly high level.
Money handlers, in
yes.
a way. And of course, in this period, there's the English Civil War, so you've got two sides there, both issuing coinage?
Yes, absolutely. When Charles leaves London and the war begins in 1642, he establishes quite quickly, a number of mints to support his effort. So his main parliament is Oxford, but Aberystwyth, Shrewsbury, Worcester, York, Chester, they all become mints at one period or another to support the king. Now, the majority of money is always produced at the Tower of London still. And Parliament have control of that mint, but they are still minting coins with Charles's image on. The only difference you'll know is the mint mark has a P in brackets. That's the only real clue that we have to that.
And was the Royal Mint, which we are familiar with, was that in existence at that time?
Oh, yes. Royal Mint.
How far does that go back?
Well, that goes back, as we would conceive of it today, it's a medieval creation. And for the most part, was on the site of the Tower of London from after the Norman Conquest until the 18th century when it was moved to Tower Hill, and then again in the 1970s moved to Llantrisan in South Wales.
And you've got quite a few priceless, in inverted commas, items, which obviously have a value. What are some of those in that you've actually got in some of the cases here?
Well, yes, we have some, I'd say priceless in terms of the importance they are, the important objects they are for history, for numismatics. Some unique and some known from just a couple of examples. I think probably what you're alluding to is a very famous gold medal that was minted for Elizabeth I, that's known as the Dangers Averted Medal. And this was struck in 1588. It was designed by the great miniaturist Nicholas Hilliard, and it commemorates the defeat of the Spanish Armada. It's one of the most spectacular and bombastic images you see of Elizabeth. And because it's in gold, it just has that extra power, I think.
And when people come round, they'll see things, curiosities that I was intrigued by, like a touch coin. But near that, Queen Anne is actually sort of attacking the French king.
Absolutely, yes. While the majority of the pieces in this exhibition are coins, which were circulated and the messages conveyed to most people, medals had a different power. They were elite objects. And so they became very useful propaganda tools. And the one you're describing at the moment shows a figure of Anne dressed as a Athena beating the French king, Louis XIV, with a broom.
So quite unusual a collection, really, I would say, Richard. Just moving to the present day, which I know isn't your era, but we get things like, I mean, I've somewhere in a drawer got a Winston Churchill medal and a something else medal. I mean, are those of any value whatsoever, really?
They are, I suppose, more modern things. They're valuable in terms of how did you come by it? Because often things are handed down. So, you know, we see a lot of people with things you describe, but the importance, the value in that object is your acquisition of it and the memories that are instilled within that, because they're fairly common things.
And, well, yes, because hundreds are minted or whatever, or thousands at any one time, but they do mark an event. Is that common throughout history?
Absolutely, yes, and it's this period, the Tudor and Stuart period, particularly from Elizabeth I's reign, that we see the idea of commemoration really having a kind of material expression in the forms of medals. Because, you know, political events like the Armada, like we described, but, you know, the marriage, royal marriages, coronations, things like that, and then propaganda. There's a couple of medals of Elizabeth I that were made in the Low Countries, and they quite graphically depict the Pope and the princes of Europe and the bishops of the Catholic Church with blindfolds on, sitting on benches with spikes coming through the floor, or being cast down from heaven. So there's quite a powerful, they're used in quite powerful ways, and that really reflects the real battle between Protestant and Catholic in Europe in the 16th, 17th century.
And you've got one case over there with various things, including some, if I like to call it, misshaped coins.
Yes, that case shows us, it really embodies money within the Civil War period. There were a number of garrisons and towns that were cut off, royalist garrisons and towns that were cut off from support, from supply, and besieged. And within these towns, it was seen as important to produce money, ostensibly for the use of the soldiers to pay the garrison, to keep them loyal, and so on. And these are some of the most strikingly diverse coins, if we can call them those, that we have in the collection. Lozenge shapes from Newark, for example. And there's a piece on loan from the British Museum, which is literally a piece of silver plate with the rim that you can still see stamped with an image of Scarborough Castle.
Fascinating. Richard, the exhibition opens on Tuesday, as I mentioned, and it runs for a couple of months, I think.
Yes, until the end of June.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.